Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
We got two big guests on the podcast today. We got Michael Che and we have Ray Austin. Michael Che is a comedian and a writer. And he's got a show coming on HBO. Second season of That Damn Michael Che. Great conversation with him.
It's here.
It's here. Second season's here. Why don't you go support him? How about that?
Yep.
Support Michael Che. And we also have Ray Austin, commissioner of the Fan Control Football League, which Rachel Lindsay is a co-owner in. Question for you. You own a team in the Fan Control Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Your co-owner. Is Brian an owner with you?
Well, we're married. So we live in a community property state. So yes, he owns a piece of it.
So anything that you own, Brian owns.
Yes, I did not sign a prenup.
Interesting.
You want to talk about it?
No,
because I actually believe in prenups, but that's a whole nother conversation.
You believe in prenups?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
But it wasn't a deal breaker for me.
I mean, look, you guys are very much in love.
Yeah.
Brian is very tall.
Because that's it.
He's a great looking guy. He's very smart. Very easy to like, that Brian.
He's so easy. Chill.
Easy guy to like. Easy guy to like. You could see Brian's the kind of guy you can see yourself doing any activity with him. You can see yourself surfing with Brian. You can see yourself going axe throwing with Brian. You know what I mean? You're going to escape room with Brian.
Stop picking white shit.
That nigga's white. I mean, yeah.
But you said anything. You can see anything. Why could he be playing dominoes? Why couldn't you see yourself playing dominoes with Brian?
I could see myself playing dominoes with Brian. But you know what the funny thing is? The things that I just said there, is that stuff that I would like to do? Why we got to put race on everything, Rachel? Why is it all about race with you?
Because I'm just being very honest in a general sense. Axe throwing
is fun.
I didn't say it's not fun. This is the thing. Surfing
for white people?
We are very alike in the sense that we are black people who went to white schools and we were immersed in that. But
you say surfing for white people?
Most white people surf. Have you ever gone surfing?
Most white people surf?
Have you gone surfing?
Let me tell you something. I've never been surfing, but look, I think it's unfair that we say surfing. Look, surfing, we can't give white people, you know what? This is what we do. White people start doing something and we just give it to them because they started doing. White people didn't invent no surfing. Surfing comes
about black people and water and the ocean. And I think there's a level of trust that we might not necessarily have.
Well, they don't let us live by the ocean.
I swim and I'm a good swimmer, but I don't want to be in the water like that. I'm just going to be honest.
Who do you think invented surfing? Who do you think invented surfing?
I don't know. Hawaii? Do you think somebody came from Hawaii? Started in Hawaii.
Do you think somebody white invented surfing?
No.
About 3,000 to 5,000 years ago, cultures in ancient Peru fished in kayak-like watercraft.
That's right.
Made of reeds that the fishermen surfed back to the shore. All right. There's all different types of stuff. Then Polynesian culture, surfing was an important activity. Modern surfing as we know it today is thought to have originated in Hawaii. The history of surfing dates back to AD 400 in Polynesia, where Polynesians began to make their way to the Hawaiian Islands from Tahiti and the Marquesas Islands. It says Marquesas Islands or something. They brought many of their customs, including playing in the surf on basically bodyboards. It was in Hawaii that the art of standing and surfing upright on boards was invented. Various European explorers witnessed surfing in Polynesia. Surfing may have been observed by British explorers at Tahiti in 1767. Samuel Wallace and the crew of the HMS Dolphin were the first Britons to visit the island in June of that year. So they came over here. They saw other people surfing. They fucking the
colonized
surfing.
It. They colonized
the surfing. And now when we talk about surfing, it's the fucking Beach Boys. Man, shout out Kelly Slater, though. You the illest, dog. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Kelly Slater might be the it's not time to hate on Kelly Slater. Kelly Slater might be the best athlete in the world, man. Kelly Slater be like,
he looks amazing. He's like 50, 51.
He's like 50,
it's
51
insane.
Years old.
I saw him at the Oscars, just looks 35.
Yeah, and he's from Hawaii, early years.
But my guess was Hawaii.
Your guess was Hawaii. No. I'm giving you props for this. I'm just saying,
It was colonized.
I'm not giving white people surfing, man. I'm not.
My point is,
because we're in America. We could go other places where they surf big time, and I bet it's more than just white people surfing.
No, my point is that we don't do it. Was the point?
That's true.
And Brian is married to a black woman, and you started naming activities that black folks don't do, and that's
we don't surf enough. That is true.
You know what? Let's do a higher learning surfing episode.
I'll go.
If we have any thought warriors out there who surf and live on the West Side, West Coast, and would be more than happy to give beginner lessons to Van and I, I'd be down.
Look. You guys should come to the Higher Learning Surf Meetup just to see me in a wetsuit. You're never going to see a more pathetic sight, guys.
I'm going to
be honest with you. Just to see me in a wetsuit. My name is Van Terry Lathan Jr., but when I'm in the wetsuit, it's going to be Van Titty Lathan Jr. You know it's funny. Just laugh. You know it's funny. That was a good one. That just came to my head.
I will not.
You know it's funny. You know it's funny. All right, whatever. Come to the Higher Learning Meetup. What did you do this weekend, Rach?
It's fucking hilarious.
You know it's funny. What did you do this week, Rach? What have you been doing? You know it's hilarious. Van Titty Lathan. Like, Van Titty. Van Titty, like, you know it's funny. I don't know why you're trying to act like it's not funny.
Stop saying it. Stop immediately. Stop.
What Trudy, is Van Titty Lathan funny?
Why are you asking me what I did this weekend? It's Thursday. Thursday. The weekend is tomorrow.
Can I be honest with you guys? I want to tell everybody this in my life. I'm working my ass off. I'm working my black ass off. I'm in Fort Lauderdale shooting this show. You know, I wake up. I interview people all day long. I talk. Shout out to the mother of King Von. I talked to her today.
Oh, wow. That's emotionally
draining. Yeah, man.
That's a lot.
You know, I'm down here at Fort Lauderdale. I had breakfast at the Moonlight Diner. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, and then you come back next week. It's already full. It's just, I'm stretching it, man.
It's a lot. You're doing a lot. It is hard to film a show. You have no flexibility. I can attest to that. They got you in a hotel room with black curtains. I don't know where
black,
you are.
Look at the fucking black curtains. I'm in the Sheraton Suites.
Forget the black curtains. Forget that. Something looks like it's about to come through the ceiling.
Oh yeah. I didn't. I only noticed
that.
Did you call? No, I didn't call. Because
that's how tired he is, y'all.
I don't want to call.
He just wants to go to bed.
I don't want to call. The last two hotels I've been in, okay? Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim, because I came back home to L.A., but I couldn't really stay and kick it with Kalika and the dog too long. I had to go to Anaheim to do Star Wars Celebration.
Do you know I was almost there?
Oh, for real?
When I saw you were there, I was almost there for extra.
Oh, for real? It was dope.
And I said, you guys, I'm not going to know what I'm doing. I'm going to be lost.
Oh, my God.
It could have been me and the Midnight Boys.
Pew, pew. After Star Wars Celebration, I was so excited that I bought my own lightsaber. I custom built my own lightsaber with this lightsaber company. It's on its way right now.
I think that's cool.
How much you think I spent for the lightsaber?
About $1,500.
$1,000.
Yeah. Sounds about right. $1,000
for the
lightsaber. But worth it, right? This is an experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. It's an experience. It's a souvenir, something you will keep for your entire life.
No. It's not.
You custom made it. What color is your light?
So my lightsaber is green. Okay.
Why?
I want to do purple. So here's the deal. Let me tell you why I might change it to purple, though, because I have a color disc in there. I've decided which lightsaber form I want to fight in.
Okay.
So as a Jedi, a Force-sensitive Jedi, do you know who the Jedi are, Rachel?
I
think you do. I bet you do.
I was stretching it by asking what color. That was the extent of my knowledge. I bet you know who
the... Well, if you know what color the lightsabers are, then you know the Jedi. The Jedi are the guys who fight with the lightsabers.
No, I know that they have colors.
Right.
I don't know what they mean.
They have colors. Yeah. Just, you know, the world has colors.
I was just trying to relate. I was just trying to relate. And then you were going too deep. But fine. Jedis. Okay. A Jedi like...
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yoda. Luke Skywalker. The Jedi, right? The protectors of peace.
Luke Skywalker. That was the name I was trying to think of. But right. Yes.
So I've decided that I'm going to actually become a lightsaber duelist. I'm not just going to have my lightsaber. I'm going to learn to fight with my lightsaber. I'm going to learn to be lightsaber combat. I'm going to become a duelist. I'm going to learn how to fight with it.
Okay.
Right? I've decided to take lightsaber form 7. There's 7 different forms of lightsaber combat. Lightsaber form 7 is Vapod. Vapod is the style used by Mace Windu. The reason why he uses Vapod is because it combines the light side of the Force with the dark side of the Force. That you have blue and red combined, you get purple. So he's able to draw on evil dark side energy to fight dark siders, you know what I mean? Use their own energy against them, but he's also harnessed and anchored by the light side of the Force. So what I'm gonna do is part of my fitness routine, and I'm sure somebody will take me doing this, is I'm gonna start going outside at night and fighting, swinging with my lightsaber.
Oh, wow.
I want to be a Jedi.
So you know how y'all in that movie Role Model, where they go to the park and they reenact the whole like medieval thing?
They LARP.
That's kind of similar. Because the park where I live on the weekends, I see that activity going on.
Do you live off Ventura over there?
I don't want to speak to where I live.
Okay.
But I have seen it before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I actually think it's really cool. Like Copper and I have stopped and we've watched the whole thing play out. So don't be embarrassed about doing that at night.
I'm okay, not embarrassed.
I actually think it's a really cool thing to watch. I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but it's like-minded. You know what I mean?
I got
to
buy a Jedi robe as well. Look, here's the thing. You know what I realized?
Do you have to?
I'm going to buy a Jedi robe.
But you don't have to, you just want to.
I'm definitely going to buy a Jedi robe. I'm definitely going to go buy it. You know what I mean? I'm definitely going to go buy a Jedi robe for sure. I don't give a fuck.
Will the Midnight Boys fight with you? Because that could
be fun. Hell yeah. We some fucking nerds, man. We don't give a fuck. This shit makes us happy.
That could be fun.
Can we just be happy? All right, we got to start the show.
I'm not against it. But yes, I know you're not. Go ahead.
What you got some tea? All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about massages.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear. That is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, VUORI.com/Simmons.
All right, big deal of the day. Deshaun Watson, Cleveland Browns quarterback, $250 million guaranteed. Saw at least 66 massage therapists over a 17-month period, according to a report. He's got new allegations, Deshaun Watson. He booked appointments with 66 different women over 17 months from the fall of 2019 through the spring of 2021. God damn. 24 women who have filed lawsuits in the past, including two in the past week. So 24 women have filed them. Two in the past week have filed them. The woman who sued Watson, but then she withdrew the complaint. Two women who filed criminal complaints against him but did not sue him. We know that some of those criminal complaints have already not gone through. But two things are here. Number one, this is the first complaint after he signed this gigantic contract with the Cleveland Browns. These are the first two complaints after he signed the gigantic contract with the Cleveland Browns. If you guys remember, there were three teams that were kind of going back and forth for the services of Deshaun Watson: the Atlanta Falcons, the New Orleans Saints, and the Cleveland Browns. It is said that the Saints and the Falcons got cold feet at the end, and that allowed the Browns to come back and give him a deal that is so staggering in terms of the money paid and the guaranteed money, that it is just flabbergasting how rich that contract is. He's a fantastic, phenomenal player, but considering everything else that's going on in his life, there's not very many people thought that he would make that kind of money. Now, question is this. One, the NFL is doing an investigation into Deshaun Watson right now to try to figure out what kind of punishment, if any, they're going to levy against him. Question number one, Rachel, what's taking them so long? Question number two, the fuck is wrong with Deshaun Watson, man? Like, on some real shit. Like we're, you know, the women are saying, the latest accuser says she's giving a massage and he just starts jacking off. What? I'm not in any way, 24 accusers. Mm-mm. Can we keep it gangster for a second? 24 women said that you jacked off, just randomly jacking off while you're getting a massage 24 times. Could you understand? I could understand if there was one jack off incident. I really could, because then it could be like, hey, I signals got crossed. I thought something was happening this way. I thought I was getting a happy ending, whatever. Nigga, you jacked off 24 times.
Okay. So I can't answer your question separately. First off, I will tell everybody, there are 24 women who have a civil suit. They are not all claiming that he jacked off.
Oh, so it's not all jacking off. Okay.
It varies.
I stand corrected.
Some people are saying they had sex. Some people are saying he jacked off. Some people are saying he asked for certain sexual favors. It varies, but that's just the 24 civil complaints. There is a fantastic New York Times article that is written that says at minimum, keywords, you guys, 66 women are talking. Let that sit for a second. There are women who have stories that are so afraid, which speaks to the society that we live in, which speaks to the power that an NFL player has, which speaks to the power, which shows how problematic the society is, that they will value the word and what an NFL player can do over what a woman experienced. Like, this is so complicated in so many different levels. There are women who are speaking out and telling stories who are hiding because they're telling their story, but they're doing it in an anonymous way because they are so afraid of their family and themselves being attacked. And these women are speaking out, not suing. 24 civil suits, minimum of 66 women have stories. And it's deeper than that. It's not just, oh, I have a story. It's that there is a, ironically, if you watch Snowfall, a woman named Louie, who worked at a spa, who was working hand in hand with Deshaun Watson and setting him up with massage therapists. And there is evidence that has come out in depositions that the New York Times obtained that shows communication where she says that she's going to get him under control. Louie's going to get Deshaun Watson under control. That she basically is like, I understand. She acknowledges that something is not right. She acknowledges that she's spoken to him about his behavior. You have to read this article. It is so extensive. And it's not based off of hearsay. It is based off of deposition testimony of women who are so afraid to speak because they're afraid of what the public, because they regard Deshaun Watson with such praise because he's a superstar quarterback. And he did great things in college and has continued to do great things in NFL. And they're worried about how they will be viewed and received in this society because history has shown us that women, especially women of color, they are not valued in the same way as someone who's an NFL player. And if you doubt that by any means, look at the fact that Deshaun Watson signed a new contract with a brand new team in spite of these allegations, because at the time that he signed with the Cleveland Browns, there were 22 civil suits. Yes, the grand jury on two occasions denied filing criminal charges against.
What does that mean to you?
That it is so hard to prove a criminal case, you guys.
But okay, so let's talk about that though. When we talk about, because I said this on the podcast. I said on the podcast, hey, no criminal charges. You got to let them play, right? You got to move on, right? Like, it's no criminal charges. It's no. That was before I realized that he had jacked off two more times. You know
well,
what I mean? There's more.
These private companies have moral clauses.
They have moral clauses. So what I'm saying is, what's the societal standard, though? What is the societal standard? And this is the thing that we're all legislating. And Trudy and Donnie, if you want to jump in on this at any time too, I just want to know what the most people, what's the societal standard as far as someone being, how should we feel about this? There's obviously something going on here. Like, it's not even a joke.
Yeah.
There's obviously something going on here. Obviously. Deshaun Watson takes the field for the Browns next season or the season after. There's obviously something here. There's no doubt about that there's something here.
There's no vendetta.
What are we supposed to?
66 women do not have a vendetta against Deshaun Watson. You are a great quarterback, but sorry. There is not this huge conspiracy against you to take you down. I am so sorry. So when you ask, what are you supposed to think about it? What do you mean? Like, it to me, this is a case of reiterating the importance of women and what happens to them and their voice and how they're valued in this society over a prominent, successful, wealthy football player who is worth more to the NFL than these women's stories are. To me, this shows the power of the NFL. This shows the power of the athlete. Deshaun Watson is a person who I'm sure has shown promise since he was in Pop Warner football. Since he was in Pop Warner to junior high, to high school, to on the collegiate level at Clemson, he has shown promise, which means he's shown wealth, which means he's shown he's worth something. And he has shown that he is valuable to a private, successful billion-dollar organization. They're going to put that over the voices of these women of color all day, every day. These aren't the daughters of NFL owners. These are women who work in a salon spa off of north of 45. That's the hood. I'm telling you right now, it's the hood. I know Houston. Like, y'all think about this. Athletes are given a lot, including the tools they need to succeed with mental health.
He could get a massage at the
facility
anytime he wanted
physically,
to.
Exactly. The team has massage therapists. If he didn't want them, they could set him up with a massage therapist. But he went outside of that. And most of the time, a lot of athletes or just successful people in general are very private. I was listening to Teddy Bruschi talk about he's had 5 different people over the span of his career come and administer those type of exercise or be a massage therapist to him, right? Deshaun Watson had over minimum of 66 in a 2-year span.
That's nuts.
In a 2-year span, he has a fetish. He has a problem. He was seeking these people out. He was teaming with the owner of a spa to bring these women in. And what's more sad to me is that there are more women who aren't speaking at fear of how they will be judged. And they can't express what happened to them, how they were violated, because society holds the Deshaun Jacksons of the world in such high regard. Still to this day, the man signed a $300+ million contract with $250 million guarantee in light of this.
The Texans have been added as a defendant because either knowingly or unknowingly, the team provided a venue for Deshaun Watson to get some of these massages. His lawyer, Rusty Harden, talked about it. And he says, sexual activity during the massage is not a crime. We might need your legal eagle right here. Donnie, give that to me.
I don't know how many men are out there now that have had a massage that perhaps occasionally there was a happy ending. All right? Maybe there's nobody in your listening audience that ever happened to. I do want to point out, if it has happened, it's not a crime. Okay? Unless you are paying somebody extra or so to give you some type of sexual activity, it's not a crime. And so at the end of the day, that's another thing that would affect conduct. Doing something or saying something or being a way that makes you uncomfortable is not a crime.
Rusty.
One of the best lawyers in the world, Rusty Harden.
Defense lawyers. Yeah, 81. Was around with Enron. Was around with old Roger. Somebody else I'm not mentioning. He's a high profile.
Yeah.
High profile defense lawyer out of Texas. Rusty failed to mention consent. Now, he has since come out and fixed that statement.
What'd he say?
I'm not sure specifically what he said, but he said he was giving a hypothetical that doesn't necessarily apply to Deshaun Watson.
Can I tell you what he said?
That's what he said. Please.
I misspoke when I said that you could just go around jacking off all willy-nilly wherever you want to. That's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say
is what?
Was that my client is innocent. 66 women are trying to get Deshaun Watson out the paint, and I ain't letting it happen. Because I'm Rusty Harden. And I don't give a fuck about society. All I care about is money. Deshaun Watson fucked up. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I'm off. I'm off of it. Like, I think my lucky stars, the Saints, didn't jump into that hornet's nest.
You should.
Look, Deshaun Watson owes the world an explanation. 24 women.
He gave him one.
Okay.
He basically posted on his Instagram that, like, blogs are going to talk and haters are going to hate. Deshaun. I'm telling you, athletes have been
24 women.
Have been excused for it. Not everybody is Deshaun by any means, but I'm just saying they've been catered to and babied for such a long time. They think they're above the law.
You can't say they think they're above the law. This is one guy. You know what I mean?
But a lot of times, it is fine. I can't generalize, but you don't want me to generalize. I'm going to generalize. A lot of times, successful people think they're above the law. You don't want me to specify athletes? Successful people think they're above the law. They can pay their way out of it. They can charm their way out of it. They are more valuable to whatever company, to whatever,
I just don't want to throw everybody in the same bucket. It's a lot more guys out there.
I will say successful people. I will say successful people think a lot of times we see the successful people think they're above the law.
Yeah,
can I say that? Deshaun Jackson, excuse me, not wrong player. Deshaun Watson seems to be one of them. He doesn't seem to be remorseful at all. His attorney doesn't seem to be that way either. He seems to be continually making excuses. And I'm sorry, where is justice for these women who have been violated? They didn't ask for this. They didn't ask for it. I suggest, please, everyone, read the New York Times article. Please read it.
Let's stay in the world of sports with Jack Del Rio.
Oh, I can't.
Jack Del Rio, who is the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. He has some thoughts about, he says, look, America's an unfair place. And he doesn't see America keeping the same energy for the January 6th insurrection, an attack on the American Capitol, as they did for the unrest that happened in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. Roll it out, Jack Del Rio. Let's hear him.
Let's get right down to it. What did I ask? A simple question. Why are we not looking into those things? If we're going to talk about it, why are we not looking into those things? Because it's kind of hard for me to say. I can realistically look at it. I see the images on TV. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down. No problem. And then we have a dust up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it's kind of two standards. And if we apply the same standard and we're going to be reasonable with each other, let's have a discussion. That's all it was. Let's have a discussion. We're Americans. Let's talk it through. I'm for us, you know, having a great opportunity to have a fulfilled life. Like I said, every which way I can, when I'm here, it's about love and respect.
Okay. Let's talk about a phenomenon that exists in America. It's called whitenesia. I've been dealing with whitenesia my whole life, as many people have been. It's something that happens. It's actually very clinical. We've been able to actually break this down on a scientific level. Where privilege, racism, they make into a fatty epoxy. You breathe them in. You breathe them in and it goes up into your brain. And it chokes parts of the brain. You breathe in the privilege, right? Turns into an epoxy. Chokes parts of the brain and actually deadens nerve centers that help you remember and adequately synthesize information in the realm of reality. Some classic examples of whitenesia is that, hey, everyone loved Martin Luther King Jr. Fuck no. You hated him. You hated him. But whitenesia tells you now that he's some kind of sacred cow that you must parade in front of us whenever you fuck up. That's not what Dr. King would do. Well, we don't know what Dr. King would be doing right now because you blew his fucking head off. So we don't know what he would be doing. He might be in YSL. We have no clue what Dr. King would be up to right now. He might be. You never know. He'd be down there in Atlanta. You have no clue what Dr. King would be up to right now because you killed him for trying to free people and trying to make poor people richer. Whitenesia also happens for one specific area, slavery. Whitenesia, number one thing, slavery. You hear people say, oh, it wasn't so bad. Remember the Duck Dynasty guy said that slavery was kept the black family together?
No, that's your Louisiana folks. I'm not aware of that.
They said that, you know what I mean? People would say slavery is 400 years ago. Whitenesia stops you from being good at math. It's not 400 years ago.
They said they kept a black family together?
Like, go back and look what he said. He said, we all have families and stuff like that. He said something like that. Like, I don't give a fuck. Whatever he said, it's just something stupid. So the January 6th Capitol insurrection resulted in the deaths of law enforcement officers. So all of these people, remember whitenesia, all of these people that want you to lay at the feet of the same cops who killed your brother, don't give a fuck when their people kill the police. They don't even remember that it happened. He said that it was a dust up. Whatever you might think about what happened in the aftermath of George Floyd, whatever you might think about that, I recognize that that was significant civil unrest, and I make no apologies for being on the side of the people who took the street. I'm not going to say that was a dust up. We kicked up a lot of motherfucking dust, and we should have. I make no apologies. Absolutely zero. This country was started with political unrest. People throwing tea in the water. You need a little bit. At least what they were fighting for and marching for was the truth. George Floyd really died. He was really murdered. And we were really pissed. These people are going up there attacking the Capitol, a coordinated attack on some shit that never happened, and kill cops. These same people who talk about the police as Jesus do not want to talk about the fact that cops got killed during January 6th.
Right.
And either Jack Del Rio is the stupidest man on earth, or he has a form of white amnesia. Not only that, four responding officers since January 6th have committed suicide. Not to mention the fact that the nation's capital was breached, that officers and Congress members, officers of our nation and Congress members, who I don't really give too much of a fuck about, but still they're human beings, and they were basically held captive by terroristic threats. White amnesia takes the biggest thing in the world and makes it the smallest thing.
When it's
and takes the smallest thing in the world and makes it the biggest thing.
When it's
January 6th was a dust up. Mike Brown deserved to die because he shoplifted from a store. You see how it goes?
Yeah. And like, people, like, and the way people respond to that is problematic and violent versus the way people responded in the dust up. Oh, you can rationalize, and it's a much lighter thing. It's very and all it's.
I never say this. Jack Del Rio should be fired. Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. I never say this. I've been fired from a job. I know what it's like for people to call from your head. Jack Del Rio should be fired. I'm gonna be honest with you.
We should point out that he tried to clean it up. Tried. I agree with you. But I'm going to be honest, man, like, I had to look at myself when I saw this. Between what's happening with the way that this organization known as the NFL is handling Deshaun Watson, who had a record contract, and you have somebody who peacefully protested in light of what he believes represents his people, and them being seen equal in the society, can't get in this league. But someone who's accused of, at the time, 22, and we don't even know what the NFL knew. We're just now finding out about the minimum 66. We don't even know what they knew, but we at least know they knew about the 22. He can get a record-setting contract, but somebody else who does a peaceful protest can't even get back in this league. Then we have Jack Del Rio making these comments about a dust up, but condemning black folks, because that's basically what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Minimizing white folks, condemning black folks. I got a question supporting the NFL at this point. That's what I have to deduce.
At this point?
I love football. I'm not even going to, I love football. I love football. It's nostalgic for me. I grew up on it. I can relate. It's a family with it. It means it's my favorite sport.
Some but hypocrites, the two of us.
But I'm telling you.
We're some hypocrites. We suck.
We're some hypocrites and we do suck. And when I see the way that women aren't valued, when I see the way that people aren't of color are valued, that's all I can think about with these two stories coming out in this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't with the NFL. And we have to come together and speak out against it. And I didn't the first, I did not. I was like, I'm still going to watch.
Yeah.
Watch. I was on ESPN. I was literally talking about it on television. You know what I mean? I had a football radio show, a national show where I talked for 5 hours about football. I was not doing it. But I can't get past this week.
Rachel, you know what we got to do, Rachel? We got to do it. We got to get our sabers together. Rachel, we got to lay the gauntlet down.
I'm serious. We have to lay the gauntlet
because seriously, it's to the point now where it's too fucked up. Like the NFL literally kicked Colin Kaepernick out of the league for peaceful protests and said that they were doing it on behalf of the military and cops that were being disrespected. Not only fuck women, but right now Jack Del Rio just said fuck cops. He still did not mention the name of Brian Sicknick or the other officers. When he gave his apology, he never ever addressed the fact that white terrorists killed police officers on January 6th, and it is distasteful, disrespectful, and disgusting to minimize their deaths. He didn't apologize. He's white, doesn't have to. He didn't apologize. The NFL has got to demand either a proper apology from Jack Del Rio for the lives that he so callously brushed aside in that statement, or a suspension or a firing is worth it for him. And if you're a player for the Washington Commanders, you have got to. I'm not asking you to walk out of the fucking facility. I know niggas got families, but you can't sit on your hands on this. This nigga's crazy. This guy's fucking out of his mind.
But isn't the guy who runs the team, football operations, a black man?
Yeah. I don't know.
He is, right?
My blood pressure's up.
No?
Very upsetting. I guess he is. Rach, I'm so pissed off.
No,
what are we
I'm
doing?
Telling you, it's a black man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, what's
it's
his
a black
name?
Man who Washington runs this Commanders. Team. Where are you? Where is your voice?
Let's not do that though. Let's not make it. He didn't say the fucked up. We do this too much too, Rach.
No.
He didn't say the fucked up. It's not he didn't say the fucked up shit. We can't That's make him I'm hold doing. The water for the white man.
That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying you're a person who's in a position of power. If I'm a player, when we saw this story, what did I text to the group chat? Can we get a Washington Commander on the team?
Yeah.
I mean, like from the team to talk?
His name is Jason Wright, the first black president in NFL history.
You have to be feeling a certain way as a player to know the person who's leading your team feels this way. And as a person in a position of power who can make a difference, I'm not saying he's got to put his job on the line. I'm just saying utilize that position of power to do something, to speak out, to make your players, your black players feel comfortable, something. Like it's not putting pressure on him. It's not asking of something of him that I'm not asking for somebody else. It's you done made it. So what you going to do with this position and this power? When your head coach, we done fired old boy before for less. I'm just saying something. I'm not saying he has to get him fired, but like, where are you? Where are you in this?
You're right. It's upsetting. I think this is indicative of the way that a lot of people feel with their white amnesia. I think they don't remember. And I'll tell you something else. I'll keep pounding this drum. Either we need to convict white amnesia, or we need some black amnesia, or we need to be more forgetting and more forgiving of when black people do shit.
What's black amnesia?
Blacknesia would be us not running to destroy our own people when they fuck up a little bit. White people fuck up. Other white people don't even fucking remember that it happened. Jack Del Rio literally doesn't remember the facts. He has no idea what happened January 6th. White people killed police officers, destroyed the nation's capital. Black people, sometimes I think we're looking for each other to fuck up so we can jump down each other's throats and remind each other how trash we are. We don't forgive. We don't forget. We don't do anything. I'm not talking about where other black people are hurt, situations like this, like Deshaun Watson, people like, I'm not talking about that type of stuff.
Right.
I'm talking about just other shit, some shit that we've talked about on this podcast. It's like, sometimes you have to fight fire with fire. And what I'm saying is, they on the same team. They're on the same team. They fall down, they pick them back up, they move on together. We always looking for somebody to be trash, man. We got to think about how we're doing this. These are inside conversations, you know? I'm probably wrong, but I could be right. All right, guys, quick break. We have Michael Che from That Damn Michael Che, showing HBO Max. Of course, Weekend Update on SNL, and one of the co-head writers of SNL, Michael Che, on the other side of this.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do, too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, guys, we are blessed, and highly favored. Delighted to have Comedy Genius on the show today. He is co-anchor of Weekend Update on SNL, co-head writer of SNL, and does what I think is the most hilarious thing that happens on television. That is when they do a little bit where they switch up the headlines. I think it's fucking hysterical. That Damn Michael Che season 2 is coming out. We have Michael Che on Higher Learn today. Mike, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. That was very nice of you and a very warm welcome. I really appreciate that.
It is. I think that watching two people up there, I don't know how y'all came up with that, but watching you guys go back and forth basically with who can be more racist is ridiculous. I remember a joke stands out. It was like they were having problems getting black people to take the vaccine. You made them say that they put the vaccine in the Popeye's chicken sandwich. And I was like, yo, man, I felt bad. You ever feel bad when you give them some of that stuff?
Initially, I feel bad because usually when I write it, they're somebody's always like, you can't make them say that. And then, well, we got to make them say it now. We can't just, you know, have it. But I don't know. Now I'm starting to think, is this like a super kind of plan for him to just get to say racist stuff that he really wants to say?
Have y'all had that discussion?
You know, like, why is he letting me do this? Like, oh, no, don't make me say that word. Like, uh-oh. You like this, bro? No, it is fun to do. It is fun to kind of just see how, you know, make him squirm a little bit.
I know you said with your show, you feel like, and I'm paraphrasing here, you feel like you can do more. Like your hands might be a little bit more tied when you're doing SNL. Do you feel that? Do you feel that often, or not necessarily? This is the show. It's just more of a chance, for, an opportunity for you to express yourself creatively the way you want to and be in complete control.
Oh no, absolutely feel that way. It's, but I mean, it should be that way because SNL's not my show. You know, it's Lauren's show. It's the cast show. It's, you share that space. So, you know, there's a lot. It is a variety show. You get, you know, a little bit of real estate, but to me, it's like the difference between living in an apartment with roommates or having your own space. You know, like I can't just paint the walls purple if I'm living with other people. You know what I mean? So you try to be respectful of the opportunity and the show and the responsibility of representing the show. But for my show, I get to, you know, say it kind of a lot cleaner and get straight to the point. And I don't have to rewrite it to make it reach a broader audience, because we perform for a live audience at SNL, obviously. So, you know, if it doesn't work in front of them, it doesn't get on the show, you know, in a dress rehearsal. They're not there necessarily to see me. They're there to see SNL. So it has to live there. For my show, I could talk directly to my audience because they're there to see me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I remember, oh, by the way, just to let you know, I don't know if you care about this, Charlamagne Tha God a couple of weeks ago told me that you have the best show on TV.
Oh, that's what's talking. Up, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, he was walking and talking. He's like, "Are you, bro? Are you watching? Are you watching Michael?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, I've seen it." He goes, "Bro, no, you got to watch it all, bro. It's like really the best show on television." That's how I started watching it. You're doing your thing. I remember back in the day when Kanye was Kanyeing, and he had this whole thing where he would say, "We all know that Kanye saves the best beats for himself." Now you have a situation where you're basically producing for other people, right? Mm-hmm. On SNL, but then you also rap too on your own show.
Right.
How do you know which beats to keep for yourself, man? Like do you keep the best beats for yourself now? Like that's a skit for us. Can't give it to SNL.
That's a really, really good question. And I'm sure I'm probably oddly the worst person to answer that, because subconsciously I probably do keep something and say, nah, you know that this makes more sense on my show. But what I try to do, what I like to think I do, is just put things where it will be received the best. You know, there's kind of nuanced take. One of the tricky things about being a Black writer on SNL is that SNL isn't considered a Black show, even if the writers and the cast and everybody on camera is Black. Even if the host is Black, they look at it as, oh, this is white people making Black people say it. So sometimes the context don't hit as good or as genuine, being that it's on that platform and it may be better served on my show. But then there's times where it kind of rings true more broad, and it makes the show feel a little bit better and it adds a little flavor. So, you know, you just kind of try to be honest as to who's going to appreciate this the most and how we're going to make this joke land, you know, the hardest.
Mm. Your new season just dropped. Staying in line with talking about your show. Favorite episode and why this season?
This season, my favorite episode is... I always like relationship episodes. I just think that there's... I don't know. I guess like at my core, I always feel most uncomfortable talking about relationships and getting into, you know, the nuances and the insecurities of being a bad boyfriend or trying to be a good boyfriend or, you know, things like that. So I always have the most fun trying to open up in those episodes and write from that place. I think that's the second episode.
Has there ever been a time where it felt weird making white people laugh?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I think Dave kind of famously talks about doing something on his show and a white guy laughed and he, he didn't like where that laugh was coming from, and he felt like that laugh wasn't where he needed it to be. And I think that's uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable, but you know, you kind of. But that's everybody, though. That's every. Yeah. Sometimes people laugh at jokes they don't get. They just laughing at the, you know. That's something that just come with it, though. You know, you just got.
What's that thing in human beings that makes us laugh at the most inappropriate shit? And that's kind of what the battle that comedy's fighting right now. But I'm on set shooting something right now. Someone said something that I would never in my fucking life repeat. Don't even get on Reddit or in the comments and ask me to repeat it. I'll never repeat it.
Can you text it for me?
It was hysterical. Hysterical. Why? Why are things that are off limits so funny?
I think because we know it's true. We know that no matter how much we ignore it, it connects very quickly. You know, it's the most primal thing. I think comedy is speed. And the faster you can connect truth and honesty, the funnier it probably will be. You know, that's probably where the laugh is.
Mm. Speaking of comedy and things people find funny or not funny, I guess to be a comedian in this day and age, I think is even more difficult. And something was trending on Twitter. I don't know if y'all saw this, but it was a tweet where a girl said, this was like yesterday, help me figure out how Bernie Mac is funny. She was like, explain to me how Bernie Mac is funny. And to me, Bernie Mac is universally funny. I don't understand how you can't find him funny. One clip, and it's very obvious he's funny. But it was a back and forth of people really debating whether or not Bernie Mac is funny. Where do you think we stand right now with comedy? I mean, like, in regards to what people find funny. Why are you looking at me like that, man? What people find funny.
Oh, I thought you were about to say where we stand on Bernie Mac. I was about to say, nigga, we stand pretty firmly.
It's not debatable to me. I'm talking about the tweet. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I feel you.
But I just feel like, I don't know if she was trying to go viral. I don't know if it was just what people do on Twitter. But to me, it's like, what's happening right now with what we find funny and what not?
I think there is a level of entertainment in overanalyzing and kind of ruining things that people genuinely like. And Twitter is a place where people go for that. So I wouldn't trust that I don't even think she believes that. I think what's funny is in the room. And I think what Van hit on, the question Van asked, or the point Van made just a couple of seconds ago, is the reason why Bernie is so funny, because you believe him. You believe that frustration. You believe, even if you don't think he's right, you don't agree with, you know, hitting a kid in the throat at 2 years old or whatever, you understand why he's that frustrated, what made him that mad, and you've been there and you believe that he felt that way. You know, even thank God he's never done it, but you know it, and it registers quickly. And it's the one thing we try not to say. He says it plainly, and it's kind of beautiful to watch.
You know, you're a fun guy. We like to have fun with our guests, and I didn't want to hit on any serious topics with you. But in the world of comedy, there's definitely a very serious topic that's going on right now, and I can't let you leave without getting your opinion on it.
Okay.
I need you to make a decision right now on this podcast, Michael. D.L. Hughley or Monique?
D.L. Hughley or oh my God!
Take your time now, Michael. Take your time.
Because I tell you what, if you get it wrong, you might find yourself at the end of a rant. D.L. or Monique, who you throwing your weight behind?
Oof. Bad choice of words. I'm going to say...
this nigga.
Man, boy, you said it. I'm going to say I thought DL handled that in the way I would have handled it. And I feel like Monique handled her in the way I would have never handled it. I think that she seemed to be upset with DL, when I would imagine it would be more, her anger should have been more directed toward whoever put that show together and misled her and violated that contract. Cause another performer can't violate your contract. You know what I'm saying? So if you was contract to go last then that's between you and the man who put you on before last, you know? So I think she kind of, at the very least, misguided her attack. But Monique, the reason why we disagree and get frustrated with Monique is the same reason why we love Monique. And
same reason why we love her.
And she's so honest and she's so pure, is because when she feels something, she's willing to go out there and express the hell out of it, no matter whose feelings get hurt. And I think that's what people really connect with, because even if she's right or wrong, we've all been that frustrated and wanted to just burn it all down. And to see somebody actually stand up and do it, and, you know, at the risk of being criticized and ridiculed and punished and blackballed, it's kind of dope to see her be that ballsy. But I do think sometimes she gets in her own way when she doesn't necessarily have to. But I thought DL did a good job of not ruining his set, and, you know, letting her frustrations hijack his material. Like, he still did his set, which I thought was, you know, I hope I'm that professional in a way that, you know, Chris Rock still read the prompter after Will Smith did what he did. I feel like, well, damn. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know that I would have been that cool.
I gotta be honest with you.
Like, I don't think most people we don't
talk enough about that. Like, I'm serious, man. I'm not even fucking around. Like, we really don't talk enough about that. This man stood on the stage after being assaulted. I don't give a fuck what you say. That's what happened. And did his fucking job and looked into that camera and mustered up, yo, we don't talk enough about, we talk about the slap, we talk about the screaming, we don't talk about the fact that he still had to perform after all that trauma.
If they would have slapped, if that would have happened to Renee Zellweger, they would have cut the commercial, dumped the black, and we probably not had the rest of those Oscars. You know what I'm saying? He was put in a position where even after that, he still was expected to fulfill his job, which I think is insane, but also he did it, which is even more insane. Yeah.
But even if he had responded, it reciprocated what Will Smith did, I still think people would have been like, and he would have been rightfully so.
Yeah.
It would have been well worn. It would have been okay.
It would have been hard to argue anything else.
Right, right. You're always interesting on social media. You just posted recently. When can we see you on Love and Hip Hop? When are you going to be on Love and Hip Hop?
I've always tried to avoid VH1 shows. But recently I've been watching it, and man, it's been very, very satisfying. I've been watching Couples Therapy.
Oh yeah.
It's so good.
My homeboy, my man Nick Young on there, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Shout out to Nick Young. I hope his family's okay. I just saw the last episode. He had to go home, check on his dad. But yeah, I'm like really invested in this shit. I don't know why.
I could go down a whole like long story on why you're interested in it. But let me follow that up with, if you could join a reality TV show, which one would it be?
Oh, man. I feel like you got to go 10 toes down. You just got to get ratchet and keep on loving hip hop. You just got to open up and just have some fun. Why not? Yeah, Love and Hip Hop's got to be the way to go. That's what Cardi did, right?
Yes. Yeah. So you choose New York? Okay. Which city?
New York.
That's one.
Of course, New York.
That's one.
New York. That's where you're from.
That's one.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you why you're in luck.
Okay.
The show that I'm hosting right now, I'm in South Florida right now. I'm hosting the show. All right. I'm hosting a television show. Guess who one of the producers on this show is? One of them is 50 Cent. The other one is a nice, close friend of mine by the name of Mona Scott Young. And I just think that if Michael Che wants to be on Love and Hip Hop New York, I think I have somebody that I can call and make that dream a reality for you, my brother.
Look, you don't know this, but I've sort of known Mona since I was a kid, like literally.
Oh,
a kid. Yeah. Yeah. One of my brother was a barber, and one of the shops that he worked at was owned by one of her best friends, somebody that worked for her. So I've met her since I was like probably 11, 12 years old. And yeah, ain't that a trip? That's how small the world is.
That's why I don't understand that about New York. 15 million people and all y'all know each other.
Yeah, it's a very, very bizarre small world. But yeah, Mona, I've known Mona since I was a kid. I think the last time I saw her, she came to the show, actually. She came to SNL a few years ago. So yeah, shout out to Mona, man. Tell her I said hello.
Michael,
I will. So I gotta ask. I have to actually ask him a real question.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Ask him a real question.
So, Michael, Chris Rock attack. Okay. Serious question here. Chris Rock attack.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle attack.
Yeah.
Not just that, but a growing sentiment on social media and in the air about what comedians can or cannot say, and what comedians should or should not say.
Right.
Almost as if some people think that violence is appropriate if you get your feelings hurt by a comedian.
Yeah.
Has this changed, or do you think it will change the way that you perform your stand-up, the security that you have at your stand-up? Mm-hmm. Is there a situation amongst comics where you guys feel like you need more protection in the climate that we're in now?
I've always felt that at any point, if you say something too disrespectful, somebody will stand up and address you. You know, I've always felt that that was a possibility, whether you're on stage or whether you're in the lunchroom or whether you're on the subway or whether you're at a party or whether you're in the barbershop. That threat to me has always been a part of my life. I don't know why this is a new development. And I think for a lot of the guys that's on stage that's been attacked, they also considered that. I think that it's become sort of fashionable that whatever's entertaining in mainstream on Twitter or whatever goes viral, or, you know, things that kind of sparks a lot of conversations, people like to recreate for their own benefit. I think there might be a couple more copycats who think that this is a way to make their moment. You know, they feel a little bit braver after they've seen it done. And I think that happens in a lot of cases in our, you know, society. But I don't think anything changes, man. I think you have to be careful what you say, because at any moment, somebody could be very offended. And also, though, you know, you're a comedian at the end of the day. You try to make everybody laugh. There's only one emotion you really want. You don't want anybody to feel that angry by something you said. You know, we in a feel good business, you know, that's not the reaction we ever trying to get, you know? So you hope that you never do that, but hell yeah, that's a possibility. That's a possibility at the grocery store. That's a possibility at any moment.
Yeah, it is. Okay. I'm going to take it back, because my question was kind of piggybacking off of what Van was saying. Van wants to flex with Mona, but you know, I got a couple of connections too on a reality show, Michael.
Okay. And Mona's ain't first 48. I'm good.
No. No.
We're about to bring you some KFC. Snitch on your whole family.
No.
You hear me on the phone? I'm telling on everybody. No. No.
Far from that. You talk about the relationship show is the one that's your favorite from this season. I was on The Bachelorette.
Okay.
What if you were on The Bachelor? What if you were The Bachelor?
Ooh, that would be a tough sell for me. That would be a tough sell for me. But I wouldn't be like the guy that everybody's competing for. I would be like one dude making my case, but I can't pick through all the women. That's a tough job.
I did it. You could do it. Let me tell you. Yes, you don't want to be one of 30-something men.
I think I'm more of a 90-day fiancé guy, personally. Like, that seems like something that's a little bit up my alley.
Mike, you deep in the game. Like, bro, like, Michael J is deep in the game, bro.
Yeah, I can do 90 Day Fiancé. That feels a little bit more realistic.
You know what? Like, this is because he travels a lot. He be traveling. He be in all of these weird cities. It's nothing to do in Tallahassee on a Thursday night when you got a show at the Tallahassee Comedy Club all weekend. And you cut on some 90 Day Fiancé.
That's tough.
Oh, no. Shout out to Tallahassee. But, yeah, I can see myself spending 90 days with some lady from the Philippines. Absolutely. I'd be entertaining as hell.
Rach, you got anything else? Look, man, think you're one of the smartest guys working in comedy right now. So happy
that
you're having so much success. Look, I think it's an interesting time to be a comedian.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's an interesting. Mm-hmm. It's almost like being a rapper. You know how you can go curate your rap? We used to like you just curate your rap if you just want. It used to be that all the rap that they gave us was whatever was on rap CD or the radio. Right. Now, like, if you want a rapper that only talks about murdering people every song, you can just go straight to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I have different levels of comedians now. I like Sebastian when I just want some family shit.
Yeah.
Andrew when I just want some really inappropriate shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got the black comedians, which were the ones that I listen to the most. And I think you're those really, I only do go with the black guys.
I agree. I think there's room for everybody. And I think that there's space where everybody could be appreciated. And also, you know, comedy is one of them things, man. We kind of help each other. You know, we give each other looks. We give each other platforms, even starting out. You know, I start a show in a bar. You start a show in a laundromat. Now we got two places to work. So, you know, I love when everybody's kind of cooking and it's different. And, you know, I could say a joke and my special would be different than Andrew's and his would be different than Sebastian's and vice versa. So it's kind of a really cool time as a comedy fan just to have different ways to laugh and feel good. So I totally agree with you.
Well, the show is coming on in season 2. Is it streaming now or when does season 2
it's
drop?
It's on right now. You can see season 1 and season 2. It's right now on HBO Max, man. Check it out.
On HBO Max, the name of the show is The Mind of Michael Che.
That damn Michael Che. I wanted to call it That Black Ass Michael Che, but HBO refused. But so we can call it that here.
We'll call it that
you
here.
You missed the Carlos Mencia joke that I threw out there. But
yeah, I got it. The mind. I saw it right there. I know it. That's why I laugh. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, man. Shout out to Carlos, wherever
shout
he is.
Shout out to Nelson.
All right, my brother. Take it easy. We're glad you had time to stop by and hang out with us today on Higher Learning, man.
Right. Seriously, on, man.
Yes, thanks for being
thank
here.
You so much, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Lil Nas X is upset about BET situation. He did not get nominated for any BET awards. Play the audio.
Fuck BET. Fuck BET. BET. Yeah. Fuck BET. Yeah. 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 Look it on up. Slip it. Make it stop it. Okay, 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 okay. Look at how I talk shit. Bitch, I should put like three up in the top ten. And I don't need nobody. I just need these CCs on my body. Everything I do, bitch, right or wrong, gon' make a profit. Read about it. I don't even gotta sing about it. I work all with the money that you niggas dream about.
Your other shoulder doesn't work.
I'm only doing one shoulder.
Okay.
It's only the right shoulder. I was holding the mic in the other shoulder. I can't do shit right for you, Rachel. They're going to love my shoulder dance.
I kept looking up and I was like, oh, okay, we still with the one side.
BET has responded saying that we love Lil Nas X. He was nominated for Best New Artist at BET Awards in 2020. We proudly showcased his extraordinary talent and creativity on the show twice. Fortunately, this year, he was not nominated by BET's Voting Academy. In response to a tweet bringing up Frank Ocean and Tyler, the Creator, past and present nominations, he tweeted, love Frank and Tyler to death. But why can we admit that men are more respected when they do less feminine things? Or am I making that up? Let's litigate this.
Okay.
Tyler, the Creator, is part of the LGBT community.
LGBTQ plus.
LGBTQ plus. What did I say?
I don't know.
Meanwhile, Tyler, the Creator, is a fantastic artist who's part of that community, part of the LGBTQ plus community. He's queer. Mm-hmm. He is not asked to carry the torch for the community or excoriate it for that as much as Lil Nas X is. Now, let me tell you what some people would say. Some people would say, when I say that's because Tyler doesn't, quote unquote, throw it in your face as much. Tyler doesn't throw it in your face. Tyler is Tyler. And the fact that he hangs out with guys or likes guys, he doesn't make it that big of a deal. Whereas Lil Nas X has made it part of his identity. His queerness is a staple of his identity. And that changes the energy for people. Rachel, to that, you say what?
I mean, what's your specific question?
The question is Lil Nas X right that less feminine men who are
in our community?
Gay?
Yes, 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 yes.
In our community,
I asked you
yes.
To tell me a question and then I cut you off. Sorry. Yes, I do believe that we still have strides to make in this community, and by that I mean the Black community, when it comes to what we accept and what we don't accept, or what we're more willing to accept. We might accept it, but in a certain way. And there's a difference between Lil Nas X and Tyler, the Creator. There's a difference between Lil Nas X and Frank Ocean. And I think that you can make differentiate between the two. And I can understand what Lil Nas X is saying. Yeah, I'll just end it there.
You'll end it there. I think he's definitely right. Mm-hmm. I think... it's not necessarily a Black thing, but it in this case is what we're talking about. I think people want you to have shame.
People, I think, or people, the community, because Lil Nas X is talking about the community. That was his whole thing.
So this is my thing with that. Well, let's talk about what Lil Nas X is talking about. I think there's a difference between being something and being proud to be something.
Okay.
If I'm Black and I walk around here in different spots and I go, hey, this is what I am, blah, blah, blah. I'm just another human, you know? Hey, it's just me. I'm not Black. I'm just Van. I'm just another human. I like pasta, you know, just like you. I like to go for long walks just like you. And it's just me. It's good old Van. I wear a khaki hat, curled. You know, I'm cool. I'm with you. I flip my collar up. I'm one of you. I'm not black. I'm Van. Everybody goes, hey, we can tolerate him. But you see, if I take my blackness and I say, not only am I black, if I act, how about this? If I act as proud to be black as some act proud to be American, that's an insult to America. They're America everywhere. They're putting fucking flags on shit. They got eagles on shit. We're not even asking them. They're like, it's America. Motherfucker, we know we in America. Like, there's like if you act, the only thing they want you to be proud of is the country that they built by oppressing you. And I think that that goes double sometimes for our brothers and sisters in the LGBTQ plus community. That's the pride. That's why they have to be proud, in my opinion. That's why it's empowering to see them proud. That's the pride that grinds people, to see them happy, see them out there getting it, see them out there doing their thing and showing not one ounce of the shame that society will want them to have. Because if you're going to be doing that stuff, the way people look at it is, if you're going to be doing that stuff, at least be sad about it, right? If you're going to be out there carrying on like that, at least have the decency to be sad about it.
Sure.
Don't be proud to be who you are. So what Lil Nas X is saying is true. And it's not necessarily, I don't know if it's necessarily the masculine feminine dynamic. It's the fact that you can't turn it off in your head. Tyler inadvertently gives you a break. Frank Ocean inadvertently gives you a break. Lil Nas X says, I'm here right now. Deal with me. Like, this is who I am. You don't get to turn it off and just be like, hey. And that's what we do with our blackness. I walk in with my blackness and I say, what's up, niggas? Kwanzaa. And I don't give you a break. Why should I give you a break for who I am? And that's the same thing he's asking for. As far as the BET situation, I don't know what goes into the voting. It seems very, very peculiar that he would not be nominated for anything when they nominated Jack Harlow, who loves black women. He said it over and over and over again.
I'm not.
Black women. Jack Harlow loves you. Oh, I love black women. I'm Jack Harlow. I love black ladies. Black lady. Hey, Jack Harlow, what kind of dinner do you want? Oh, I love black ladies. Hey, Jack Harlow, where do you want to go on vacation? Oh, I love black ladies.
It's a black women land. He knows his audience. He knows his audience. I will say it's very odd. And Lil Nas X does bring up a great point. He not only was nominated for a Grammy, he performed at the Grammys.
Yeah.
Jack Harlow was a feature on his hit song. And he was nominated. I interviewed him last year at the BET Awards. He was nominated last year. It makes no sense why his album could not be nominated, or his singles, or him as an artist could not be nominated this year. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense why Jack Harlow. And to me, it just seems like BET is more about doing what they consider on trend than they do about the artistry. Because for doing it about artistry, Lil Nas X would have been nominated. He has not just great songs. He's not just a great artist. He had a fantastic album.
It's a good album.
It's a good album. And to me, they seem to be appealing, or maybe trying to draw in a certain audience to the BET Awards, which is why Jack Harlow got nominated. Doesn't make any sense. And honestly, Lil Nas X has crossed over, so I really don't understand why he wasn't
one of the biggest artists in the world.
I do not understand it.
One of the biggest artists in the world.
Maybe they did it because we'd be talking about it, because I don't know if we'd be talking about BET Awards if this wasn't it. I don't know. Right, I'm asking everybody on the carpet if Lil Nas X deserved to be here when I work the awards in a couple of weeks.
All right, guys, we have a treat for you. You're about to learn about the future. The future's coming at you. Boom, baby.
I like
that. Fan control football. Mm-hmm. That should be the slogan. I got so many ideas for fan control football. When you guys listen to this interview, we're about to have on Ray Austin. the commissioner of fan control football, where Rach is a is an owner, right? Rach, you're an owner.
Yes, yes, I am.
Of the what is it called? The Do Nothing team.
Stop. SB Stars.
SB Stars.
Should have been Stars.
Should have been Stars. And I have some great ideas for the future of fan control football. I want people to really listen to my ideas with an open mind and tell me whether or not they're good. We're going to talk to Ray Austin on the other side of this break.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, so guys, look, we got an interview to do right now with Ray Austin. And Ray Austin is the commissioner of the Fan Controlled Football League. This is something that Rachel is all about. She's been telling me about it. Rachel is an owner. She's one of the owners. You know how those owners in the NFL and they're Trump supporters? Rachel is one of those. I want to learn more about fan control football. We want you to learn more about fan control football. So we brought Ray Austin on to talk to us about fan control football. I already see the Delta Q agenda that's going on now. I see it happening right now. Ray Austin, thank you for joining us today on Higher Learning. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. Glad to be here, dude.
I'm glad you're here too. What the fuck is fan control football, Ray? What is it? God damn it.
Let him know. Tell him to put some respect on it, Ray. Go ahead. Let him know.
Hey, you better put some respect on my company, dog.
I got, bro. Nah, I definitely will, dog. You swole as fuck. I don't want no problems, my G. Like, I ain't never seen the commissioner that look like he playing middle linebacker. I don't want no problems. But what is fan control football, though?
Hey, look, fan control football is basically live Madden, man. This is an idea that four guys, well, me being one of them, had for about 10 years, man. We were thinking this up in 2013. And what we wanted was, like, how do we get fans more involved in their sporting experience? I was out back in Chicago. I used to play for the Bears, so I stayed in Chicago, and I was acting at the time. And I went to a semi-pro football game, and I was watching my buddy play, and I'm like, damn, this coach is stupid as hell. So I'm texting my boy like, yo, what's up, man? Your coach is – what is he doing? And so after the game, I was able to talk to both of the teams, and so I took the coach's number and was like, coach, can I get your number? I want you to run some plays for me. So I went back up in the stands, bro. And I just text him, run a play action pass, run a sweep.
You lying.
And then it just like, it was in my face. Like, I was like, holy shit, I can literally run a team in the stands. How do I do this with a whole bunch of people? And back then the technology didn't even exist. So I basically taught myself how to beta test an app. I threaded a whole bunch of people together on a text message and said, you've got four choices, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And whichever number that they picked, was a play popped up on their phone. And that's how I kind of got started, man. Ran out of money, didn't know what the hell I was doing. And it just sat up on the shelf. My boy Tony Parrish played for the Bears, man. Meets back up with me, says, man, what you working on? I tell him, man, like, I'm doing this. And he goes, man, I got a buddy of mine, Sohrab Farooti. He owns the Las Vegas Outlaws, the indoor football team for the AFL. And he's thinking the same thing as you thinking. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, damn, somebody else is thinking about this and he got money too. I'm like, oh man. So he didn't care. He's like, nah, man, he wants to meet you. So I flew up to LA, met up with Sohrab. He had already reached out to two other guys that he never even knew. And we sitting at a table, bro. Swear to God, we sitting all at a table and we just like, why don't we do this together? Like, fuck, let's do it. And we had all the right ingredients. We had a CEO, we had a gamer, we had a guy that was in marketing, and we had a football player. And we was just like, let's do it. And from there, man, we raised $2.5 million, opened up our first team called the Salt Lake Screaming Eagles in Salt Lake City. We let the fans do it all. We let them pick the logos, the name of the team. And then we built a mobile app that turns your phone into an actual playbook. and the fans ran the plays. They literally had 12 seconds to pick a play, and the play was streamed down to the player. And that was 2017. And then the pandemic hit.
Damn.
And we was trying to raise money. Right. Pandemic. We didn't know what we were going to do, man. But then we were always telling people that our company was always like a sport in a box. We don't need fans to be there. And the pandemic hit, and we were just really almost, it was almost a blessing, bro. And we were able to raise, you know, we raised $40 million.
Ray, you bowling.
We had a whole bunch of people get involved. And that was the thing that people didn't understand. Like, how are you going to get these football teams that people are going to want to be interested in? Well, if you're going to do that, you got to get interesting people. So we reached out to people like Rachel Lynn, Marshawn Lynch, and Quavo, and Richard Sherman, and Tiki and Rondé Barber. And then we got celebrities a part of those, that ownership, so they could bring their audiences to liking those teams. And it became, man, it's been a blessing, man. We have 8 teams right now. Again, we raised $40 million. We've got great sponsors from Wendy's, Progressive, IBM, we've got some great, investment group from Lightspeed Ventures, Verizon Ventures, and Animoca Brands, which is one of the top investment companies in the world, man. And we're just happy and blessed to be doing this thing, man.
Yeah, right. Oh, Van, did you have a question? He's in it.
Now. No.
You said $40 million, and he's in it.
No. I'm into this. I'm glad Tiki Barber bounced back from, you know, the whole NBC thing. But look, here's the deal. I want to ask you a question about Fan Control Football, real quick. So if I pick a play, how about this? So I pick a play, and then if I'm a part of the people that pick that play the most, then they run the play.
Absolutely. You download the app, you pick a team. Rachel owns a team called It Should Have Been Stars, her and Drewski. And literally, if you're on that team, 4 plays will come up on your phone. You got 12 seconds to pick run or pass. You pick that play, it's generated through all the people picking that play, and the best play or the top play is sent down to the quarterback, and he can only run that play.
Okay. Now, quick question.
Yeah.
What if I don't want to be a part of everybody in the vote? What if I want to skip the vote? Is there a way that I could just pay like $1,000 and have y'all run my play?
No. But
Ray, you need to look at that. Think about it. Ray, think about it. What if I want the flea flicker now? Okay? Yeah. I don't want to vote and have everybody, because they don't have the offensive mind that I have, Ray. I'm Sean Payton. Right. I want this. I could spend like 50 G's in one game to have them run all of my offense.
Yeah.
Like $1,000, and then boom, you just run the play. Y'all be going crazy.
100% right. We call it fan IQ, and we say it all the time. Ain't no one fan is treated equal. So if a guy has a lot more of a fan IQ than the other one, that they have a lot more power to have that play happen. So yeah, if you got $100,000 and you want to call that last play, shit, we might make that work. That's the best thing about what we do. We make up the damn rules. Us and the fans, we make up the rules. And you and Rachel has seen it. We've changed rules on the fly. And it works for us, man. Like,
right.
The fans, if it's a flag and it's a play that everybody, you know, we're kind of, you know, 50-50 on, we let the fans make the decision. And we don't let the refs make that decision. We put it up for a fan vote, and the fans end up making the decision. Yeah,
you know what I think is incredible is I've been a part of this for 2 years, and I've seen such a big growth from last year to this year, whether it's adding new owners, expanding the teams. There were 4 teams when I started. Now there are 8. More owners, like Drewski wasn't on our team last year. It was me and Austin, and we had a couple of other people, Austin Eckler.
Yep.
Now Drewski's on the team. And I literally just lost my train of thought. I want to talk about the players. The way we're getting players that used to play in the NFL that are now a part of FCF. The way Van wants to do it, it would be fan uncontrolled football. Like, that's ridiculous. This is fan controlled football.
That's a good idea.
And that's what makes it so dope. And Rachel just hit up on it, man. Like, everybody always talks about, like, what is the play like the football, man? Look, we got D1, D2 guys that played at top level colleges. I'm all over the world, man.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Heisman Trophy winner, Terrell Owens was in it, Robert Turbin was in it, Terrence Williams played with the Dallas Cowboys for 6 years. I mean, we love to sprinkle in NFL guys because what that does is just heightens up the play with everybody. And to be on some, like, for it to people like, well, does it even matter? Well, Terrell Owens ain't in the playoffs. And he was on a team and he's not even in the playoffs. And another team that was 0-4 is actually winning now. They're in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So that's the great thing about what we're doing, man. It's just like the talent is there, how we treat the players and what we want the players to do. You know, we think really about, I call it more than the athlete. We make these guys say, hey, look, use this platform for a place to build yourself. When I was done playing ball, I only played 5 years, bro. That's not a lot of time. I was a young cat when I got out, but I've been more of an entrepreneur and in the entertainment business longer. And that's what we try to kind of teach our guys. It's like, use this platform of football and this digital platform that we're putting together to promote yourself. So if you want to be an actor, model, content creator, entrepreneur, our network is so damn big. Use this network before you get up out of here. Don't just get up out of here with a whole bunch of stats. Get up out of here with a network that you can do something with after the game is over.
What's your vision, Ray? How big do you think Fan Control Football can get?
Well, it's funny you said it because the name of the company is Fan Control Sports and Entertainment. So we have a patent on not only football, basketball, baseball, soccer, cricket. Right now, I'm going to be working with, but we just signed Bone Crusher on as our head of community and culture, and we're going to do Fan Control music. So when you ask me what are we trying to create? We're trying to create a generation that only see this new young generation coming up. They can only see themselves a part of sports if they're involved. We're going to change the mindset. If you think about a phone right now, dude, like kids do not always only see this as a phone. They see this as everything else because that's how that's how the generation is. And so we want to change the mindset of a sports person to say, hey, look, I don't see this being a sport unless I'm involved in it.
So number one question I get is how can the people get involved? People like, Rachel, you're an owner in this. It's fan controlled. As a fan, how can I be a part of this? How can I join a team? Sadly, my team didn't make it to the championship this year. We were almost there. We were eliminated right before the championship. That's okay. The championship's this weekend.
Should have been stars for that reason because they should have been in the damn playoffs.
So I blame Drewski because before that, before we had that name, we made it to the championship last year. We are the reigning champs up until this point, but the championship's this weekend. How can people get involved if they want to be a part of FCF? Because they should be.
All you got to do is go to fcf.io, fcf.io. Go in there. You'll see all 8 of the teams. Pick one of the teams that you feel more comfortable with. You know, you've got these so many different owners from Quavo to Rachel that you can pick from, Bob Minnery that you can pick from and say, man, my personality is more like Marshawn Lynch, or my personality is more like Rachel or Bob Minnery. That's what makes it so great, because you become a part of these cultures. And once you get your team, you'll start seeing all these decisions being made every day. What we're going to eat in the stadium, you know, what music we're going to play, you know, what playbook are we going to use? You know, we're putting in all kinds of different plays, and we allow the fans to make those choices before the game, before the week of the game.
And drafting players.
Yeah, draft and play. Thank you, Rachel. We do 4 drafts. We have a 9-week season, but the first 4 weeks we do a draft every week because a lot of fans don't know the players. So when you see a player play week by week, you go, oh man, I want that guy on my team and that guy on my team. You start to build your roster, then you get ready for the playoffs and the championship like now. So
you should have something called a power play purchase. Where fuck it, I could just pay 5 bands and they run my play. And it goes straight to the fan, the football budget, straight to the Fan Control Football budget. Cause I don't want to be with the rest of the people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cause they're not gonna, you know what I'm saying? Ray, I'm telling you.
Listen,
Ray, I'm telling you, Ray.
You're on this song. I'm telling you.
Ray.
Listen, the Bored Apes, you know, I don't know if you know about NFTs, but we have 4 NFT teams. And one of the teams is owned by the Bored Apes. And I don't know if you know that's one of the top NFTs out there. And they paid our players in signing bonus with NFT ApeCoin. And so I know some people were like, okay, what the hell does that mean? that purchase that they gave those guys will probably be worth anywhere between $10,000 to $15,000 down the road. And that's what that's what that's worth. You know, we're doing things that the NFL and the NBA aren't even thinking about doing. We became international in 1 year. We have over 2.5 million people watching us play this, you know, or voting and playing this game around the country, you know, and the NFL has been trying to get overseas for years. Just the way we're doing it, the way this blueprint is, it's just so different from every other league, from the USFL, the XFL, all the leagues, all the alphabet leagues that are not even here anymore and won't be here next year, because the way we're doing the business, you know, centralizing all of our organizations, centralizing all of our employees and staff. So instead of us having to market in 8 different cities, we're just marketing in Atlanta. Mm. And so when you think about that, you then start to control the city. And so that's why we're just wanting to control Atlanta. Once Atlanta hears about us, which they have, but once they get to know us and we become family, man, we will be a household name here, not only around the world, but here in Atlanta.
All right, man. Look, I'm excited. Cutting edge, bleeding edge stuff from Ray Austin and Rachel Lindsay. Fan control football. You guys get involved. I'm going to get involved.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Yeah, bring your ass up out of here. Stop. So you talking about 5 bands? Let me see them 5 bands and come out here and call the play. How about that? If you come out here with 5 bands, I'm gonna let you.
Not the chain. Tuck the chain back in, Van. Tuck the chain back in.
Put that back in.
You know what I'm saying? I got it, baby. I got it.
If that's your five band, you might want to put that.
There's nothing like going to an FCF game. I just was there Memorial Weekend. I'm telling you, the arena, the experience, the crowd, the players, it's amazing.
It is. It's a big ass party, bro. It's the Lakers front row. You know what I'm saying? And Soul Train all at the same time. Man.
I was lit.
It's just that is the culture that we want. We wanted to bring the culture of sports in the locker room. We always say this, man. Like, I went to University of Tennessee, and that's where I played football at. And we always talk about the locker room. The locker room is where it all happens. You know what I'm saying? That's where all the players feel comfortable. That's just that environment, that camaraderie that you get. We open that up to everybody. So Rachel's sitting next to fans. They sit next to me. You know what I'm saying? We take all them roadblocks away from all the regular corporate, you know, sports leagues. It's like we doing this shit together, you know, and that's what makes it so dope. That is probably one of the dopest things that we do. And I think the fans feel that. They're like, man, I don't feel like a fan. I feel like I'm a part of this thing that they're building. So
absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, Ray, we're going to check it out, man. Actually, you got me excited. It got me excited to try something new. I'm going to get into FCF. That's Ray Austin, the commissioner of Fan Control Football. We really appreciate you joining us today on Higher Learning, my brother.
I appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much, Ray. Good to see you always.
You too, always.
Donnie, run the mailbag song. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in. All right, we are doing 3 mailbag questions, and we're going to do them quick.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, real fast. Samira Buell on Instagram, she asks, what would you do every day if you never had to work again?
And we can only pick one thing?
Yeah.
One thing.
Damn, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't pick one thing.
I mean, I'm sure you do other things, right? But like, if there's one thing you could do every day if you didn't work, what would it be? Honestly, it would be something that I don't have time to do every day because it can work.
You know what's crazy is there's really nothing.
Oh, for me, I'd meditate in yoga, which I love and really changes the entire course of my day when I'm able to do it. And I can't every day because of work.
I guess I would, you know what I would do? I would spend time with Bozeman and Kalika. Aww. More specifically, Bozeman.
You don't do that every day?
I'd say it's probably spend time with Bozeman. I threw her in there so she didn't feel bad. But like more like it is like I love hanging out with Bozerly Wozerly.
Isn't it the best. I make time for that.
I make time for it too, but he makes the time. He come over and jump over. I love my boy.
I know. I'm obsessed with mine too.
I love my boy. My boy is so great. Okay. Next question.
All right. Pin Hoodie on Reddit asks, if you were to trade places with the other, how do you think it would be different? By this, I mean, how would Van be different if he was raised by the judge? And what would Rachel be like if she grew up in Baton Rouge?
Wow. Well, see, here's the thing. If I was raised by the judge, I would be like a much worse person.
I think like, you would be too, like a PK.
Yeah, if I was raised, no. If my fucking dad was a federal judge, if my dad was a federal judge,
yeah,
these niggas Bell. Couldn't tell me shit. If like hold on for a second, no. You're thinking I would go off and be a rebel? No,
yeah, I think you'd be a rebel.
No, if my dad was a federal judge, Rachel, you are down to earth. If my dad was a federal judge, you fucking peasant. Like, you don't talk to me. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what? You don't fucking talk to me. Do you have any idea who my father is? I'll be throwing that out at all kinds of places. Where, like, I'll be throwing that out at Disneyland. I'll be like, I'm trying to get in line to go on a ride at Disneyland. I can't get in line. I look around. I'm putting cases on all of you motherfuckers. all of y'all. Like, I would never be able to handle something like that. No, ever.
You would. Because it didn't happen. It wasn't the norm for you. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think I would have been much different. If anything, I would have been... It took me a long time to truly just say, this is me. And I don't really care. And I think if I grew up in a household where I could be more expressive of like who I am as a person and not necessarily confined to society norms, I think that I would have been this a lot earlier than I would have been, than it took me to like completely leave the household. Like there's a freedom that you grew up with that I envy. And I think that if I would have had that when I was younger, that would have been this a lot earlier.
Last one.
I can tell you this. I never would have gone on The Bachelor.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you go on there and it's different. Maybe you go on there and it's ratchet.
I still would have been fucking shit up.
I'm telling you. You're doing your thing. Shit. Raised by my mother, the only thing you would have is you'd have a little bit more quirkiness to you. There might be some like hoodoo shit behind you or something like that, but it's pretty much the same. You
and her, baby. Because I'm like very into meditation and crystals, and like I think I would have really that I would have loved that growing up.
I said hoodoo. Like, I'm talking about casting spells on niggas.
That's fine. I would have been more into that. I would have received that a lot better. Anyways, I think we would have thrived switching places.
I think so too. Boy, I can't tell y'all. What's your dad's name again?
Sam.
Sam Lindsay Jr. Like, Sam, me and Sam, Sam Lindsay Jr. Sam Lindsay Jr. Nuts. All right, last one.
All right, last one. Here for the Right Seasons on Reddit asks, have you ever witnessed a Karen in person? And if you have, what's the story?
Yeah. Yeah, like a couple of days ago, as a matter of fact.
Oh my gosh, what happened? In Miami?
A couple of days ago, I was trying to check into the hotel. And I'm trying to check into the hotel. And I'm standing in line and this lady walks up in front of me and she complains. And I promise you, like, this is how I responded. I was so tired from having taken the red eye. Like, I'm standing in front of the guy. The guy's on the phone. She walks in front of him to complain and cuts in front of me. When she starts talking, I said, silence! And she jumped. Like I said, silence! I'm next!
Like, What did she do?
I really didn't even try to do it. I promise you. I was just so tired. Like, I was so tired. And she starts talking about like not being able to check in or where her suitcase is. And I said, silence. And she jumped and she moved to the side. And I was like, it's my turn. I'm next.
That's silence. You kind of were the Karen.
A little bit. I feel like I overreacted a little bit. I'm not going to lie, because I don't know. It's a chance that she didn't see me, but I think she did. I think she just walked in front of me when I'm waiting. You have to understand, I am dying to get into the room so I can lay down and go to sleep.
Oh, man. I've like, been there.
Dying.
I understand you. I understand you. I live next door. I used to live next door to a woman named Karen. They must have named the term after her. She was the epitome of a Karen. And she had no life. She had no job. And her entire life was watching what her neighbors did so she could complain and cause drama and fuck shit up. She used to, on trash days, it was our job. We lived in a townhouse. There were three townhouses. And it was our job to take the trash out. And she had her own trash because she was weird about it. So she didn't take our trash cans out. She didn't bring our trash cans in. It was myself and the other neighbor. We would take the trash out at night and the other neighbor would bring them in. Well, when the trash man would pick them up, she didn't have anything to do all day. So instead of leaving it alone because it's none of her business, she would take the trash cans and block the driveway. So when I got home, because I was the first person to come home, the trash cans were in the way. So I had to get out of the car and either move the trash cans or bring them inside. It's like, it wasn't bothering anybody. Like, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and she's blocking it. So once I knew we were moving, I was like, fuck this shit. And I'll tell my landlord all the time at the time. I was like, listen, she's doing it again. He would send me the text message she was sending her. Nothing, right? It was like what she looked forward to once a week. So the last week, but towards the end, I just took those trash cans because she blocked my car. I could not get in to park my car. I took those trash cans and I parked them behind her car. And she happened to see me because she just sits on the camera and she watches. So she comes out and she's like, you bitch, you fucking bitch. I can't believe you took the trash cans and parked them behind my car. She tried to move the trash cans behind my car. I kicked them towards her. Just kicked them towards her. And I was like, fuck this. You block me off. You blah, blah, blah. We go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. She's like, you reality TV star, bitch. That's what she says to me.
This is a fantastic story.
I can't believe I had to tell this on the podcast. This literally happened like 3 months ago. It's like, you reality TV star, bitch. And I said, Karen, and I was so chill. I had the dogs with me. She started complaining about what my dogs do. It just turned into this whole thing. I said, Karen, I go, Karen, you just really need to get a damn job. I have a fucking job. Like, that's how it was insane. But I'm like shortening it for this podcast. She went off. I went off. It was this whole thing. Brian gets home. He was like, Rachel, you did that? Yes. And we move next week. So needless to say, Karen's sabotaging the next neighbor. Her real name really is Karen. But real life Karen. She called me, you reality TV star, bitch. I said,
she called you a star. She called you a star, though.
The star.
Thank you, Donnie. We both know I'm more than that, though. Come on, Karen. We both know I'm more than that. At least I got jobs.
You know what? You know what I wanted to say? What I wanted to say was there should have been fisticuffs after the B word came out, but no, there shouldn't have been.
Nah, she was bitching. I was bitching. I was fuck, bitch. I mean, like, I'm sure.
Did you use the C word?
No, I didn't use the C word.
Why not? It's such a good word.
It just wasn't necessary. Like, I can hit her harder when I'm like, get a damn job. It cut her deeply. You know, when I talked about her ugly dogs. You know, it got to her. That was worse.
What we should do? We should have Ebony come up here and take care of her.
Because that's what I used to do.
That's what I would do. Man, let me tell you something. You a girl in Baton Rouge, not gonna talk shit to me, not like talking about. Ebony Lathan, not for the bullshit. Ebony Lathan is Ebony Lathan is my father in a woman's body. I'm my mother in a man's body. Ebony Lathan is my father in a woman's body. She's not fucking playing with your dumb ass. She gonna kick you in your shit.
Sadly, she knew who I was. Obviously, reality TV star bitch. Right. There was only so much I could do. You know, she's probably on a Reddit talking mad shit about me.
Mad shit. You got an unexpected ally of the week?
I don't. Karen just pissed me off.
JJ Redick.
Again? So he's on unexpected at this point. That's twice. You can't give it to him again.
I'm just the biggest JJ fucking Redick fan in the world as is right now. JJ, like, JJ Redick be fucking handling. Did you see what JJ Redick and CJ McCollum did to your boy?
CJ McCollum too?
Oh.
I didn't see
it. It was beautiful. CJ McCollum and JJ Redick gave it to Stephen A. Smith. The topic was Darvin Ham's press conference, and Stephen A. Smith was up there yucking it up, and fucking JJ Redick and CJ McCollum gave him the business. Give me the sound, Donnie.
Said a random take, and then you explained a bunch of things about Russell Westbrook that had nothing to do with that take, and so I want clarification on
sure.
What is your issue with Russell Westbrook being at that news conference?
That's a wild thing. That's a wild thing for you to say. Tonight. Him supporting his team, his organization, his coach, a fellow African American man that gets hired by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Is that CJ?
Don't
go there. That's what he sounds like. That's
not you're saying. This is what you said.
But no. But see,
you said that
he crossing the line when you bring up another African American man. That's not where I'm going.
That's
I'm talking about the Lakers organization discussing trading him.
What does that got to do with him?
Well, what I'm saying, no. What are you talking about with that?
You said him going to the press conference, you're disappointed.
I'm saying.
Nope. Run the tape. We got the tape.
That's what you said.
The organization
has been talking about moving Russell Westbrook. They're talking about trading him. My opinion is that this guy, there are question marks as to whether or not he's going to be a part of the team.
In your mouth.
I didn't know the subject was Russell Westbrook. Now, you know I'm ride or die Russell Westbrook, so.
Why is that?
Just a big fan. He was always
of my Russell favorite. Westbrook?
Believe it or not, I know you never believe me when I say this, but the reason that I was a big fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder was because of Russell Westbrook. You never believe me when I say that. I've always been a big fan of him.
All right. Yo, we have, okay, so for Mondays, quick plug. I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you guys to, there's a book out there right now by a guy named David Dennis Jr. David Dennis Jr. is an amazing journalist. He has written a brand new book. The name of the book is The Movement Made Us. We have been trying to get David on this podcast so that he could talk about his book. It hasn't worked out yet. We are going to have him on, but it's an amazing book. Please, if David Dennis is on Twitter, he's on Instagram, hit him up, let him know how important he is. He wrote a great book. David Dennis, go get his book. That's amazing. On Monday, we're having Jared Hill from the Fanty Podcast on the podcast. We are going to talk more about Issei Atute and what happened in Virginia. He is the host of the Fanty Podcast, half of the host. He hosts it with Travell Anderson. They're going to come on here, and it's a podcast that deals in LGBTQ plus issues. Jared is someone who is a brilliant man, an amazing friend of mine, and somebody who, when I need my antenna pointed north on issues that deal with me and an ally to that community, he can help me out. So I want to talk to him about some of the questions that a lot of you posed on the Reddit and on the Facebook. There are also several topics that we're here that we are going to get to. We're going to talk about some of the things that are going on in government right now. We're going to talk about the Justice Department probe into the Louisiana State Police that we did not get a chance to talk about today because it just came out today and we need a little bit more time to sink our teeth into it. So we got a lot of meat for you Monday. Big Meat Monday, baby. That's what it's called. Big Meat Monday. Everybody come through and swinging some big meat on Monday, baby. Big Meat Monday. Woo! Woo! Take the caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
And I'm Rachel and Lindsay. Bye, guys.